Whew. I don't even know. She just should have took the whole 120-minute CD and just rolled with it. But she made a statement just a little while ago about how much more receptive she would have been if she would have went and read that story, Joel. And that's no different than us preparing for Shabbat. I hope that we tilled the ground all week long to receive the word, the seed that's going to be planted, that it grows on good fruit. I mean, it grows plentiful, you know, it grows good, not on stony grounds or on with weeds in it. If we did our part, he's going to do his part come Shabbat morning, every single time, every single time. So we're in Exodus, we're in Names, and Exodus 1 is huge. So much stuff to talk about in Exodus 1. We talked about identity. We talked about the two women, how they took a godly stand against, you know, what the decree or the article that went out from Pharaoh. But I'm going to read the chapter again, but I'm going to talk about oppression. Anah, afflict. We're going to mention all the parat. We're going to mention all those stuff. You say, how? I mean, you say, well, why? Why are we talking about oppression? Because I think I even mentioned it when I first brought this this Exodus 1, the first time we talked about it. But I can talk about it because I've been there just recently. You know, it's not far off. It's still fresh. It's still new. So I know for a fact what it takes to get out that hole that Pastor talked about the other day, last Shabbat. You know, Yeshua, he jumped in that hole with me, and he stayed there until I finally got enough courage and enough word in me. He loved me, and he never failed me. He stayed there till I knew you're going to get out. Look, and even when I would come up halfway, I would go back down. Yeshua still was right there waiting for me. Come on, we're going to do this. I'm in that hole with you. And if you got me, and you got the set-apart spirit, and you got the hand of Yehovah, you got everything. Amen. You got everything you need to get out of this hole. You just got to do it. And I'm so thankful. So thankful where he's taking us. I'm going to read a couple scriptures. I'm going to start off with, I think Brother Chad read this one last night. And it's so powerful. Before we even get in Exodus chapter 1. Because this is my responsibility, right? Luke 4:18. This is what I came here to do this morning. Because if we are honest with ourselves, we're dealing with some type of oppression in our life. No matter what it is, that oppression can come financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, the world system, the whole nine yards. Debt is an oppression. I face that. I deal with that. If you got debt, it's hard to focus on his word. It's hard to have that to want to read, to want to study, to want to pray, because your focus is, man, I got to make this next dollar. House notes due. Truck notes due. Insurances due. Phone bills due. Everything, it seems like everything is due. It never stops. That is oppression, but the Father don't want us to live like that. That's the world system that puts us right there. And we cave to it, we fall to it, because we feel like we gotta have it. Gotta have it, gotta have it. Verse 18. The Spirit of Yehovah is upon me because he has anointed me. Amen. He has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. And I'm not talking about y'all poor in you know, money or just poor. You poor because you're missing something. You're missing a breakthrough in your life. We poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oppression is brokenhearted. Man, it's miserable. When you're in that hole, it's dark. It's lonely. It's cold. Doubt, fear, anxiety, depression, oppression. You feel all of that in that hole. All of it. To proclaim release to the captives. And I hope this morning that when I bring this word out, I hope it does all of this for each and every one. This morning I came here, 7 o'clock. I told my wife, I said, why are you going to church right now? I woke up. I said, hey, I'm getting dressed. I'm going to church. She said, why are you going there right now? I said, I just have to go. And as soon as I walked in here, it just began to walk by every chair, every table. And I just ask, Father, Father, you know every person that's going to be here this morning. You know what they're going through. I don't know what they're going through, but I know what you have placed on my heart is heavy, and I can't shake it. I tried to even go in another direction, but he brought me back to this oppression. We got to deal with that, because that's not for my people. My people can't live. They can't do what I want them to do if they're oppressed. If they're oppressed and if they are afflicted. So yeah, I just begin to pray and just see faces. I walk every aisle because I want people set free this morning, because I know how bad I needed it when I was in that hole. To proclaim release to the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away crushed ones with the release, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yehovah. And I hope I do that this morning. I hope when before we leave, by the time we leave, we are charged up. We identify. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to identify. Call it what it is. Whatever the oppression is, you name it. It's not just, oh, that's just the way it is. No, that's not just the way it is. We have to call it out. We have to name what it is. He's good to us. So the title is Crushed But Multiplying. Elohim's people under oppression. Human systems of oppression can be rootless, but they can never cancel God's covenant purpose. In Christ, Elohim meets oppressed people, strengthens holy resistance, and multiplies his work even in the darkest places. Even in the darkest places. You say, how or why we're going that direction? Because that song that Sister Linda just sang about I survived and I'm here to testify.
Amen.
I'm here to testify, church. Amen. That I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how deep the hole is that you're in. When you have him in there with you, you coming up and you coming out. You just have to believe it. You have to align yourself with his word, first of all. If you, he's got the blueprint. If we follow the blueprint, that hole cannot keep you down. That hole cannot keep our Savior down. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He felt every same thing, everything we feel, probably on a much larger scale, because ain't nobody beating me on the head with a reed. Nobody's beating me on the back with reeds. Nobody's spitting in my face or slapping me or punching me. None of that. Yeshua felt all of that. He felt that oppression on a much larger scale than what we feel in it. So yes, I survive, and today is what I'm here to testify. Amen. That we coming up and coming out. We can overcome this. We're overcomers. So let me read Exodus chapter 1. And it feels like we've been in Exodus chapter 1 for a long time already. But we learn so much more when we slow down. It's so much more better doing it this way. I'm so glad when Pastor said, no matter how long, we're not going to follow this cycle, this person like we was doing in the beginning, trying to keep up with the movement of the Torah. Nah, we're going to take it one chapter at a time. And if it takes us 3 months to get out of it, then 3 months is going to be. You know why? Because just like she said, how can I not engage myself throughout the week? How much more receptive I would have been if I would have just read Job? How much more receptive we can be if we just read the Exodus 1 over and over until we get out of it? It's simple. We make it hard. And these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Mishraim and Yaakov, each one with his household: Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all those who were descendants of Yaakov were 70 beings, as Yosef was already in Mitzrayim. And Yosef died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased very much, multiplied and became very strong, and the land was filled with them. Then the new sovereign arose over Mitzrayim, who did not know Yosef. And Pastor Jota's heart with that word, did not know. And how important it is to know to remember. He gave us that guy, that Russian guy, and I never knew about it. Nobody in this place knew about that guy and what he did for each one of us to be here still to this day. Saved the lives of millions by not just saying, no, we not. No, we not. No, we not. And look, don't have to know why you're saying it. Just, no, I'm not. Even if you know, even if you don't know exactly where it's at in the scripture, but you know it's in there, that's good enough for Yehovah. He can work with that. No, I'm not, just because. Where is that scripture? I don't know exactly where it's at, but I know it's in there. You give me some time, I can find it. Matter of fact, if you got your phone in your hand, you can find it quick, fast, in just a couple minutes. Just Google, boom, pops up real quick. Then a new sovereign, how important it is. Then a new sovereign arose over Mizraim, who did not know Yosef, who did not yet die. And he said to his people, see, the people of the children of Israel are more and stronger than we. Come, let us act wisely towards them, lest they increase, and it shall be when fighting befalls us that they shall join our enemies and fight against us and shall go up out of the land. So they set slave masters over them to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities for them and Ramses. Listen, you have a slave master set over you today. Hasatan, Brother Chad brought that out, how he's steady roaming the earth. That's your slave master. Set over you every day. Why? To put burden on you. To put doubt in your mind. To put fear. To put anxiety. To put all of those in you. That's our slave master. Is Hasatan. We have one. But the more they afflicted them, the more they increased and grew. And they were dread of the children of Israel. And the Mishraites made the children of Israel serve with harshness. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and all kinds of work in the field, and all their works which they made them do was with harshness. And the sovereign of Mizraim spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other was Pua. And he said, when you deliver the Hebrew women and see them on the birthstool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared Elohim and did not do as the sovereign of Mizraim commanded them, and kept the male children alive. So the sovereign of Mizraim called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and kept the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Mishraite women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. So Elohim was good to the midwives and to the people, and the people increased and became very numerous. And it came to be, because the midwives feared Elohim, that he provided households for them. And Pharaoh commanded all the people, saying, throw every son who is born into the river, and keep every alive every daughter. Notice how it escalated. The oppression escalated. First, it just started with, you know, mortar, brick, bondage, everyday work. But when he seen that that wasn't working, when he seen that what he said didn't take place fully, the male children were still populating, look how it escalated. Now let's kill them all. Throw them all in the river. Every last one. Meaning after they were born. If you see a boy alive, throw him in the river. It escalated. Anah, H631. To be occupied, be busy with, to afflict, oppress, humble, be afflicted, and be bowed down. To be put down, become low, to be depressed, to be afflicted, to stoop, to humble oneself down, to be afflicted, be humble. And it's all about afflicted. Then Parat is H6531. It's to serve with harshness, severity, cruelty. And the Strong's definition is from an unused root meaning to break apart, to fracture, to cruelty and rigor. Oppression is real and heavy. Sorry. Oppression is real and heavy. Oppression often escalates. It labeled the children. It exploited them, started to crush them, and then he was trying to just erase them. Pharaoh wants to erase a future by killing the sons. And listen, that's Hasatan's motive to this very day. He wants to label you. He wants to exploit you. He wants to crush you. And as his end goal is just to erase you. Erase you. You say, well, we only read about it. No, you live it. You live it. You don't just read about it. Listen, right here. He tried to erase this. Do y'all get that?
Yes.
He did everything he could to erase this. That's why I can talk about this and tell y'all what y'all got to do to come out of this. Because y'all witnessed it. First of all, y'all seen it firsthand. Y'all was in it with me. Maybe not to the degree of, you know, the mentalness and everything that the enemy had was in my head with. But y'all witnessed this. Y'all witnessed what the enemy tried to do. He tried to erase a whole family. Just like Pharaoh's system was not content to just underestimate Yah's people, it wanted to erase them, erase their voice, their future, their children, and their hope. First Peter 5:1-8. I read this morning, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It says, therefore, as a fellow elder and a witness of suffering of Messiah, and also a sharer of the esteem that is to be revealed, I appeal to elders among you. Shepherd the flock of Elohim. This was Yehovah telling, this was him dealing with me this morning. Shepherd the flock of Elohim, because that's the position I gave back to you, which is among you, serving as an overseer. Serving as an overseer is my job, is my position, and I'm learning this. I'm learning it, and if I'm honest, I probably didn't take it serious the first time around, but he gave me chance after chance after chance. I'm an overseer, just like our pastor is an overseer. So it's my responsibility to be praying for this church. It's my responsibility to be praying for each and every individual that is in this place. And I did. I failed, but he gave me another chance to make it right. That's what's so good about Yehovah. So as an overseer, not by compulsion, but voluntarily. Not out of greed for filthy gain, but eagerly. Neither as being masters over those entrusted to you for being examples to the flock. Not being their masters. I'm not trying to master over anybody. And I shared that with Pastor earlier up in there. Because, you know, as a leader, leaders can tend to do that. Leaders can be oppressive. They can take the scripture and twist it. I was in a service. I was in a manpower conference where they would run up here and they was just throwing money to the man that was preaching. I need 10 people, 1,000. That's oppression. The Bible does not say that. His scripture, his word don't say that you got to give me your last dollar. But listen, I was in that service and I felt that oppression. Because you're seeing all these people going up here giving money, and what you want to do? You want to do the same exact thing. Look, your last $50, you don't know how you're getting home with gas. Me, him, and two other friends of ours. What I do? Now I got to run back to my seat. And I can't even really enjoy the rest of the service because what did I just do? Oppression. That's what oppression does to you. It makes you do things you have no idea what you're doing. Or you question, why did I just do that? Why? Oppress. So yes, leaders can be oppressive. Always check them. Always check whoever's up here speaking. Go back. Listen, we've been taught this since we was knee-high to grasshoppers from this man, basically. Well, I've been here since 16 when we first started dating. Yes. 16 years old, so I've been hearing that. Check my message. That's going to be part of my story to Indiana. If y'all come in Indiana, my story will be told in Indiana. From the age of 10, he reminded me. From the age of 10, when I knelt down at an altar at Black Lake, I totally forgot about that. Me and my little brother, Jeremiah, he reminded me of that this week. 10 years old, you remember that day. Whew. And when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the never-fading crown of esteem. In the same way, you younger ones, be subject to elders, and gird yourselves with humility toward one another, for Elohim resists the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, then, under the mighty hand of Elohim, so that he exalts you in due time. Why? Casting all your worry upon him. Why? For he is concerned about you. Listen, he sees every cry. He sees every sleepless night. He sees every doubt, every thought that you can think of, or everything that oppresses you. Yehovah sees that. We're going to see in Genesis, in Exodus 3, he says, I have heard the cry of my people. Listen, he hears you. The enemy wants you to think, where's your God at? Where's your Elohim? Because it ain't coming when we want it. You know, when we ask for something. But he hears you. He sees you, church. He sees your cries and he hears you. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't give up crying. Don't give up asking. Be sober. This is me. Be sober. Watch. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Your taskmaster set over you walks around like a roaring lion, waiting, waiting. Brother Chad said, he made a statement that Brother Scott said, dry. He's looking for a place dry, and that's, he definitely wants a dry place. Somebody's not in the world, somebody's not studying. But look, you can be saturated in this, and he's going to test you. He's going to see if you're going to stand on this, on everything that you say you're going to stand on. So you can be saturated in the word. That ain't going to stop him from trying. He's still going to attack. Still that roaring lion. And sometimes the things we say can be oppressive to somebody or can set somebody back into an oppressive state. That's why it's so important that we tame that tongue and watch what we say, because you never know how a setback that we can set somebody back. And I don't want to be that person that sets somebody back, especially not knowing where I just come from. The torment. The whole darkness. He's good to us. Resist him. Firm. Resist who? That adversary. That taskmaster set against you. Stand up. Resist him. Firm in belief, knowing that the same hardships are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Wait, what? Knowing that your same hardships are experienced by your brother or your sister in the world. Listen, that's why he says your testimony, your story is so important. So important. Listen, there's nothing better. Yeah, we read this and we get a lot of this stuff out of it, but this happened years and years ago. Years and years ago. But sometimes Jehovah places people that went through it in our time today. Listen, you went through it for a reason. Whether it was you put yourself in that reason, or Yehovah was just testing you to see how, like he did Job. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. He's still Yah. And what you say matters. So yeah, tell your story. You never know how it's going to bless or help someone come out from where they're at. You never know what your story will do for somebody. He says, hardship and experience by your brotherhood in the world. Tell it. And the Elohim of all favor, who called you to his everlasting esteem by Messiah Yeshua, after you have suffered a while, himself perfect, establish strength, and settles you. To him be the esteem and the might forever and ever. Amen. The Exodus is a picture of this. Elohim didn't just comfort Israel in slavery. He brought them out of it. He didn't make it easy for them. No, it was hard. It was hard slavery. But he brought them out of it. He didn't comfort them. He brought them out of it. How to fight oppression around you. Elohim not only frees us, he calls us to help others. What he does? He didn't just free us just because we're safe now. No, he freed you for a reason. He freed you because someone else needs to be free. Someone else needs to see how it was done. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good. Seek right ruling. Reprove the oppressor. Who's got to reprove the oppressor? You. Me. We have the strength. We have the power to reprove the oppressor. It's our job. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Advocate for someone. Be an advocate for someone. Someone was an advocate for you. For 3 years, somebody advocated for me. Not just Jehovah, I'm talking about individuals in this building right here today advocated for me. Every day, I got a text from my pastor, Charlotte. Still praying and believing. That's all she needed to say. Still praying and believing. Day after day after day. And you think, man, that's got to be tiresome for somebody. Well, you think about, like, what am I doing? That's what you like. But when oppression, you're all over the place. You're squalling. But every day I got that text. Still praying and believing. Still praying and believing. Advocate for somebody because you never know. Something that simple. A text that says still praying and believing. You're advocating for somebody. But listen, don't send the text if you're not doing it or you ain't believing it. You're just saying it because it's a feel-good phrase to make the person who's going through it feel good. No. It's better that you say it and mean it, though, because that's when it works. That's when it works. Some of you don't have fellow outside of you. You have fellow inside of you. What am I saying? An inner voice that practices anah and parah on your soul. It never lets you rest. Never lets you rest. It is always making you work, worry, rehearse, and obsess. This is not Elohim. This is oppression. This is oppression to where it makes you, there's no rest for you at all. None whatsoever. Listen, nobody at work knew what I was going through. I'll show up at work just like I show up now, the loudest person in the yard. Telling everybody and their mama good morning. The Spanish people say, what they say? How they say good morning? You might know her, sister. Buenos dias. I even tell them that. None of them knew for 3 years what Pastor Josh was going through. I was hiding. It's like putting on that face when you come to Shabbat. But the minute you leave out that yard and start traveling home, when you get in that vehicle by yourself or when you get to that destination where you're going, there he is. There goes the oppression back on you. But it was never no rest. It's always turmoil. Turmoil, turmoil. Every time, everywhere you look, every time you turn around, it's just, it was there. So oppress and afflict. That's going to be our first focus. In the basic sense, to humble, afflict, oppress, this is oppress and afflict. In basic sense, it's to humble, afflict, oppress, to force one down into misery or humiliation. It is not just physical pain. It includes emotional, social, and spiritual crushing. Pharaoh's system is not just hard work. It is a deliberate program to crush the dignity, freedom, and future of Elohim's people. It wasn't just a program. Listen, Pharaoh, he said in verse 9, he says, see to his people, see the people. What does he mean? He kept watching them. He kept meditating on them. Meditation? Anxiety? Probably 90% of our anxiety comes from what we're thinking about. We have no idea that meditation plays a big role on anxiety or whatever illness you want to think of. If your main focus is on that, that's where that oppression is going to come. That's when anxiety is going to set in. What you're meditating on. That's why it's so, but Chad read that scripture last night, is we need to meditate on his Torah day and night. Day and night. Constantly thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it, you wake up thinking about it. That type of meditation. Because at night you start meditating on other things, Oh man, what about tomorrow? What about this? What about that? Anxiety gonna set in. Oppression's gonna set in. And that's what this system, that's what federal system was, and that's what this world system is to this very day. The same exact thing. Exodus 1 is not just an old story, it's a mirror. It's a mirror. It's a mirror of what's happening all around us every day of our lives. And ruthlessly, the Hebrew focus for the second focus right here is focus on ruthlessly and cruelty. Crushing, severity, ruthless, harsh, brutal labor. It convoys exploitation without mercy, using people until they break. Now let me try to drive this home real good about using people until they break. Because when we read that, you know, you just read, oh, there was just, you know, putting a lot of burden on them. No, he was trying to really break their spirit and not take their life out, the whole nine yards. It's just more than what we just read on the surface level. That's why it's so good that we go back and really dive into the Hebrew meaning of what these words really mean, because it really tells you, it was more than just a little light, you know, making them work a little harder, extra 10 hours, 12 hours instead of 10 hours, or making them work 14. It was way past, it was on a much larger scale than that. He was trying to really to get rid of them completely. That's harsh. That's just this harsh and ruthless is what they're talking about. He was until they break. You ever seen that? That a taskmaster is on somebody working until they can't go no more. We seen it in movies, maybe, you know? How they on a slave or whatever, and they just beating them and the whole nine yards until they can't go no more. They just fall down and they just there. Can't even move. That's the kind of ruthlessly and with cruelty that Pharaoh was putting on the people. So if you put them together, and anah is the act of afflicting, humiliating, oppression. The paret is the style of that oppression. It's with cruelty, breaking down people without pity. Pharaoh had no pity on you. Listen, you think Hashatan cares how you feel? Think he cares if you're sick? If you feel an ail in your body? No, he's going to prowl on that. He's like a lion. He's waiting to jump on that. The minute you start complaining about something, oh yeah, he's going to get it. Why? Because if Elohim delivered you or he healed you from that sickness, and for some reason, for whatever reason, you kind of might maybe feel a little bit, oh, there goes the enemy that quick. Because he wants you to think, oh, he didn't really heal you. You're not healed. Look, you're still feeling that pain. You're still feeling that. This is the heart of oppression. Powerful people turning image barriers into tools, numbers, or threats to be managed. Pharaoh tried to dehumanize, treat it as less than human. Hasatan, same way with us today. Want to dehumanize us. He wants to silence us. He wants to silence the believer. He wants to take your voice from you. Don't want this. You think he wants this to be said this morning? Hasatan don't want that. He fought that. He fought it this morning. He really did. Tried so hard. But I thank the Father that he has anointed me to preach this good news this morning. I stand on that word and I will do what he has called me to do to the best of my ability. Elohim plants courage in ordinary people to resist, protect life, and stand between death and its victims. Elohim plants courage in ordinary people, in me and you. Ordinary people, there's nothing fancy about us. We're just ordinary. Wake up, go to work, love to eat, love to cook, love to hang out, love to fish, love to do a bunch of things. But he plants courage in ordinary, he works with ordinary. You ain't got to be some, you know, you don't think you got to be fit. I don't think you got to be some type of 6'2", 6'4", ripped up muscle. No. I don't fit that bill. But I'm just ordinary. We're just ordinary. But he plants courage in ordinary people. oppression tries to crush the people of Elohim, but Elohim is not powerless. Elohim is not powerless. He sees, he resists Pharaoh, and he multiplies his people even under pressure. Even under pressure, he multiplies. Now look, I want him to multiply me under pressure. I'm not trying to have no more kids. I'm not talking about that kind of multiplication. But no, I don't want that one. But I want more faith. I want more boldness. I want more clarity. I want my mind to be more open, more in tune. That's the kind of multiplication I want in my life. And I want that for my wife and my kids as well. For them as well. I want this for y'all as well. That type of multiplication. Unless you want to have more kids. If y'all want to. My brother and sister Becky doesn't have no problem with that, it looks like. But yeah, I want that type of multiplication. I want strength. I want, you know, just to be able to speak his word with boldness and with courage. Connecting Exodus 1 to spiritual and oppressive meditation. In Exodus 1, Pharaoh keeps thinking about Israel. He kept thinking about it. That's why he says, see? See, look at him. He says he meditates on them day and night in a dark way. It wasn't a good meditation how Pharaoh was meditating on the people of Israel. He was trying to get rid of them. It wasn't, you know, he totally forgot how much they blessed him coming in to Goshen land. Totally forgot about all the blessing that they did for that land. He meditates on them day and night in a dark way. He broods up. What if they rise up? What if they join our enemies? That constant inner meditation on fear produces policies of oppression. That's what produced Pharaoh, that policy he sent out, was that he was meditating on them in a wrong way, in an evil way. And that's what rose up for him to produce that oppression. What oppression is biblically? In Scripture, oppression is the unjust use of power at someone else's expense, making life easier for someone by making it harder for others. It is pictured as something that presses or weighs down, leaving people feeling crushed, powerless, and harassed. And you know, when you're putting this together, your mind is just, oh man, I was like, where can I get a weighted blanket from? Or where can I, does anybody have a weighted vest? Because I was going to preach with the weighted vest on, just to feel how it is to be oppressed and still trying to walk in what the calling that Yehovah has for your life. Because that's what oppression is. It oppresses, it weighs you down. Weighs you down so much to where you don't even want to do nothing. Listen, some people get in a state of oppression and depression to where they can't even get out their bed. Ain't got the strength to get out the bed. Listen, so you're not even sleeping at night. Not only are you fighting this all day long, he is tormenting you all night long. Weighing you, whipping you down. Whipping you down, tearing you up. Elohim clearly hates oppression and repeatedly defends the oppressed. Hallelujah. Huh? Thank God that we have a father that cares about us that much that he hates oppression. So what should we? Hate oppression. Remember? Love what you love. Hate what you hate. Hate what you hate. Eyes to see, ears to hear. Heart to want to know. Psalms 103 verse 6. Let's read that. Psalms 103 verse 6. Because it says that Yehovah clearly hates oppression, and he repeatedly defends it. Let's read it. Start at verse 1. Bless Yehovah, O my being, and all that is within me. Bless his set-apart name. Bless Yehovah. Bless Yehovah, O my being, and do not forget all his dealings. Who forgave what? All of what? All your crookedness. What the enemy wants to tell you? He ain't forgive that part. I suffered with that so bad. Church, I wish I could even explain to that. explain to y'all how I couldn't understand that. How could he forgive all my crookedness after putting me in a position where you're supposed to handle the word correctly? Man, that thing ate me up. But I had people constantly every day just tell me how much you were. That's why it's so important that what you say to someone really, really helps them through their life journey. If they're falling, well, that's why you fell. Look what you did. It's your own fault. You think I didn't know that? I don't need you to tell me that. I told myself that a million times. A million, if we're honest. Now, we can be not honest with ourselves and be like, well, that wasn't my fault I fell. Yeah, of course it was. But yeah, I suffered from that because I couldn't believe he took away all my crookednesses. Who heals all your diseases, mentally, physically, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving commitment and compassion, who satisfy your desire with the good. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yehovah is doing righteousness and right ruling for all the oppressed. Who is doing that for? For the oppressed. Us, here today. Like I said in the very beginning, if we're honest, we're dealing with some oppression somewhere right now sitting in this building. You're dealing with it, whatever it might be. It might not be an oppression that's flipping the house upside down, but nevertheless, it's an oppression. And if we don't acknowledge it, and if we don't call it out for what it is, and if we don't address it, guess what it's going to do to the house? Flip it upside down. But what a powerful verse right there, section in Psalms 103. What oppression looks like today in today's society, here are some common ways oppression shows up now. Economic and labor oppression. Unjust working conditions, wage theft, exploitation of poor workers, mirror Israel's slavery in Egypt. Modern examples include systems that trap people in debt, unsafe jobs, or housing where they are constantly taking advantage of. And when I read that, I think about our immigrants, people that's not here. You know, they're on these, they're on a low-income housing thing. You know, it's like the system, our system is like, if just because they're immigrants. Well, let me rephrase, I'm not even go that route, because some of them do get a little more help than the Americans. Oh, this weighted blanket? Oh, wow. Thanks, Mungo. Now I'm really going to sweat. Let's see. This is what oppression does. Maybe you might want to check this out after service. Feel it for a little while. It's weight. Carries you. Treating people as an inferior danger because of their skin color. It's not going on around America today, huh? No, of course not. That's not Pharaoh's system still moving through our life, our world. Skin color, ethnic or social status is a form of oppression because it denies the image of Elohim in them. It denies, and that's what Pharaoh wanted. He wanted to deny that image of Elohim in the children of Israel. Right. Elohim commands, which I read Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression. Spiritual and emotional oppression. The New Testament also speaks of spiritual oppression and outside force harassing, pressuring, and trying to rule over someone, weighing them down with fear, condemnation, and despair. Listen, that's Sukkot last year was so breakthrough for me in my life. Because when we read that Romans 8:1 about therefore no condemnation for those who are in Yeshua Messiah. None. That was so powerful. That was no amount of money. And I didn't even have vacation days that week. I just took off because I knew that I needed to be at Sukkot every single day. It meant that much. And lo and behold, the Father didn't disappoint, because there was breakthrough for me that whole week. And then that one scripture right there really was. Demonic oppression is real. And I read that in 1 Peter 5:8. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This can show up as an intense, ongoing temptation, lies about your identity, hopelessness, and tormenting thoughts that push you away from Elohim. That's his whole goal. His whole goal is to wear you down with so much stuff that you're getting further and further away from him. Further and further away from the truth. Further and further from the way, from the door, from the blood that was shed for you to have freedom. That's what this oppression, that's what this system does to Elohim's people. Elohim's heart toward the oppressed. And I read that Exodus 3:7. Listen what he says. His heart towards the oppressed. Exodus 3, verse 7 and 8. Listen to Elohim's heart, what he says. And Yehovah said, he's talking to Moshe. And Yehovah said, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people who are in Mitzrayim, and have heard their cry because of their slave drivers, for I know their sorrows. Elohim knows your sorrows. He knows them. Now that doesn't mean he still doesn't want you to confess them, to bring it up to him, let him know. He knows it already, but he wants to know, he wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear that, yes, Father, I am suffering today. I am dealing with da-da-da, this, and this, if you got that much. It don't matter. You can be dealing with multiple things. But say it. Let it come out your mouth. He let yourself hear you say it. And watch him. He says, I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Mishrites, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's a lot of ites. But he came, what he says, I came down to deliver them. Can I tell you today, church, family, the same Yehovah that came down back then is the same one that come down today for us. No different. With a strong and mighty hand, he delivers out. Listen, we don't know how to get out. I didn't know how to get out this oppression. I didn't have a clue. And my life told on it. I would run, then fear would hit me, and I would run back. Run back to the same place where I was at. Run, come back to it. When he would tug on me, wanting to take this oppression on me, I would put it back on. Back and forth. But he heard you cry. Listen, the key to this is don't give up. Don't give up. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how many times you got to tell him, Father, I'm sorry. Father, I need you. I need you today. I need you yesterday. I'm going to need you again tomorrow. Don't matter. Just don't give up. Keep fighting. You gotta have a fight. Look, we fight for a lot of other stuff, but this is life. We gotta fight for this. This is important. Ultimately, Elohim promises that oppression will not have the last word. He works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And I read that in that 103 verse 6. Well, I didn't even know I had it way down in here like this, but I'm going to read it. Well, I just read it all the way to verse 6. Let's read 7. Let's keep reading. I put the whole chapter in here. God promises that oppression will not have the last word. Let's read it again. since I put it in here. I jumped the gun. I'm sorry. Bless Yehovah, my being, that all that is in within me bless his set apart name. Bless Yehovah, my being, and do not forget all his dealings. Don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget how many times he rescued you. Don't forget how many times he heard your prayer. How many times he delivered you. Who forgives all your crookedness, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving commitment and compassion, who satisfies your desire with the good. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yehovah is doing righteousness and right ruling for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moshe, his acts to the children of Israel. Yehovah is compassionate and showing favor, patient, and great in loving commitment. I'm so thankful that he shows patient, time after time after time after time again. And that's why oppression needs to come off, because you start sweating and it throws you all over the place. He's patient and great in loving commitment. He does not always strive nor maintain it forever. He has not done to us according to our sins. Hallelujah. Thank God he didn't do me according to my sins. Because I could, there's no way I can come back up here and do what he's called me to do. No way possible. No rewards us according to our crookednesses. I wonder what kind of reward you think you would get for your crookednesses. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving commitment towards those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God, amen. I'm going to read that again. As far as from the east is to the west. So far as he removed, I lost my spot. So far as he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so Yehovah has compassion for those who fear him. If you think that you have compassion for your young one, your son or your daughter, and we do, we have compassion for our, we don't want to see our kids hurt or go through nothing. You have compassion for them. You have so much compassion that sometimes when you see them going in the wrong direction, it's our responsibility to tell them, hey, not that way. That's what Yehovah does for us. But if we just think, if we have that much compassion for them, how much he has for us? How much does the Father actually have for us? How much compassion? For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. A man's days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind blows over it, and it is no more, and its place no longer remembers it. But the loving commitment of Yehovah is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him and his righteousness to the children's children. To those who guard his covenant, notice, there's an if and then, something we got to do if we want that. Guard his covenant, and to those who remember his orders to do them. What's his orders? Right here. All you got to do is read the Torah. Read the Tanakh. Read all of it. I don't care if you read the front or the back. It tells you what you got to do. It tells you his orders. It tells you orders in the New Testament. It tells you orders in the Old Testament. No, his orders didn't change. It didn't change. Yehovah has established his thrones in the heavens, and his reign shall rule over all. Bless Yehovah, you his messengers, mighty in power, who do his word, listening to the voice of his word. Bless Yehovah, all you his hosts, you his servants, who do his pleasure. Bless Yehovah, all his works, in all places of his rule. Bless Yehovah, O my being. How to overcome oppression personally in Yeshua. Turn to Elohim honestly. Let him know. Be honest. I failed again. Right here, I failed again. I did this again. I did that again. Just be honest with them. Lament and cry out. Lament and cry out. Bring your pain, your anger, your confusion to Elohim in prayer. Bring it all to him. He wants it all. Tell him you're confused. I don't understand. I don't understand how you brought me here, but yet I ended up back here. That's just confusing to me. That's how, this was me. This was me when I was in the hole. I was confused. I couldn't understand it. How? How you back right there, son? Josh? You tell yourself, man, you that stupid? You that stupid, really? He delivered you from here, and now you jump right. He just took you out of that hole. He just took you out of darkness. And what you do? You go right back. And Brother Chad talk about how you got to walk, watch. You know, you don't really have to, you're so used to doing it. You know, you're just walking. But sometimes you might want to put that head down a little bit, because the enemy's might have something right there in that spot for you to fall right back in there if you're not paying attention. You think everything's all good. Oh, I got it. I got it now. No, we don't have it. Be honest with them. Be honest with them. Tell them, I'm confused. I don't understand. I'm mad at myself. Please, whatever you do, don't get mad at him. Because then you're just taking it to a whole nother level. If you're going to be angry with yourself. I was angry with myself many days. Many days I was angry with myself. But because of oppression, because of depression, because of anxiety, because of doubt, because of fear, I stayed in that hole. Every time I go to try to come up, or with the set apart spirit leading me, or Yeshua in the hole with me, telling me, hey, this is what you got to do. Grab this rock. Grab that rock. Put that foot here. Put that, and we coming up. But what I do? Fear, oppression. Wasn't fully delivered from all that. Because I was still walking in condemnation. I was still walking in it. I couldn't get over it. Until Sukkot, until breakthrough. Tell you. Appointed times are important. Feast days are important. Because you never know, that's where your breakthrough is going to come from. That day. That day. That's what those days are made for. They're made for us to rejoice in that, to rejoice in the deliverance or where he brought us from. Feast days are important. You never know. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34, starting with verse 1. I bless Yehovah at all times. His praise is continually in my mouth. My being makes his boast in Yehovah. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, make Yah great with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yehovah, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. If fear is part of your oppression, I just read a scripture to you. Yehovah delivers you from all your fears. They looked to him and were lightened. Wow. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor one cried out, and Yehovah heard him. And Yehovah saved him out of all his distresses. Who? The poor one. What did he do? He cried out. Listen, there ain't no shame in crying out. Cry out. Cry out to him. The messenger of Yehovah encamps all around those who fear him and rescues them. O taste and see that Yehovah is good. Blessed is the man that take refuge in him. Fear Yehovah, you, his set-apart ones, for there is no lack to them who fear him. We will not lack. Young lions have lacked and been hungry, but those who seek Yehovah lack not any good matter. Come, you children, listen to me. Let me teach you the fear of Yehovah. Who is the man who desires life, who loves many days in order to see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Jehovah are on the righteous, and he and his ears on to their cry. That's powerful. That's so uplifting that he hears my cry and his eyes is on me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, his eyes is upon me. The face of Jehovah is against evildoers to cut off their remembrance from the earth. The righteous cried out, and Jehovah heard and delivered them out of all their distresses. Amen. How much of their distresses? Some of their oppression. Some of their depression. Some of their fears. No, all of them. All your distresses, he delivers them out of. Why? Listen, being brokenhearted is not such a bad thing. Sometimes, if you're going through something, you know, you might be dealing with something. Whether it's, a family member who might died or whatever, might went on. Whatever it might be, is you're brokenhearted. Listen to who he's by. He's near. The enemy wants you to think, I'm going through this and Jehovah is way over there somewhere. No, all my life, you've been right here by my side. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for you. Amen. He's near to the brokenhearted and save those whose spirit is crushed. Many are the evils of the righteous, but Jehovah delivers him out of them all. He is guarding all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil does slay the wrong, and those who hate the righteous are guilty. Jehovah redeems the lives of his servants, and none of those taking refuge in him are guilty. Stand on your identity and freedom in Yeshua. Stand on your identity and freedom in Yeshua. And that John 8:36. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If Yeshua makes you free, and he has, he paid the price right there, the blood on that doorpost, on the cross for us that day, at that cross, he paid that price so we can be free. Stand firm. Galatians 5:1. In the freedom with which Messiah has made us free, stand firm and do not again be held with the yoke of slavery. But sometimes what we do after he delivers us from that yoke and that bondage, for some reason we yoke ourselves right back up to it. For whatever reason it might be, you know. Listen, the enemy's slick. He's cunning. He uses scripture. He uses scripture. Back in Genesis, in the very beginning, he used it. Had God said? Did he say? He did not say that. He said, if you eat, you will be as Elohim. He uses scripture. He's not going to come. And he's so slick that he'll just twist one little word in that scripture and boom, you believe in it. But we got to stand firm in freedom. Don't get back yoked up after we've been delivered from that. Speak Elohim's truth over yourself. You are loved. You are chosen. You are forgiven. Listen, you got to tell yourself that when the enemy's attacking you, when he's trying to make you, when he's trying to dehumanize you, when he's trying to take your voice from you. No, you got to stand up. You got to speak the truth. You got to know the word. That's why it's so important how you got. We have to know the word. We have to know it. We have to speak it over ourselves. Because the enemy is speaking it over us, but he ain't speaking it. He's not telling you you are loved. He's telling you are hated. Ain't nobody love you. Look at you. Who wants to love you? Look what you're doing. Look how you act sometimes. You're not chosen. You're not a chosen people. You're not peculiar. You're not a chosen generation. No. He don't want you to believe that. Resist spiritual oppression. That's why it's so important that we put on the whole arm of Elohim every single day. Every single day before we walk out that door. Even if you're in a rush, let's just say, and you get in that vehicle to go wherever you gotta go, I hope by the set apart spirit, he reminds us, me, you, whoever, Put on that armor before you go any further. Why? We are to put on the full armor to stand against the devil's schemes. Let me read that to you. The whole armor of Elohim. Ephesians 6, start with verse 10. This is not a suggestion. No, it's almost a command, really. You need to put this on. It should be a command if it's not to you. To me, it's a command. He's commanding that you put this on. If you don't put it on, you never know what fiery dart is going to hit you that day. Ephesians 6:10. For the rest, my brothers, be strong in the Master and in the mightiness of his strength. Put on the complete armor. What does that mean? Does that mean I can walk out the house without the helmet one day? Does that mean I don't have to take up the breastplate of righteousness today? I don't have to take up the shield of faith? The sword of the Spirit? I don't have to have this with me? My feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? I don't need none of that? Yeah, that's what he's telling you. Put on the complete armor of Elohim. For you to have power. Without the armor, you ain't got no power. You vulnerable. You open to whatever attack the enemy's going to throw at you or attack you with. You're vulnerable. But here it is in Ephesians. He's telling you, put it on. Why? To have the power. There's power in that armor. There's power in the sword of the Spirit. There's power in the shield of faith. There's power in the breastplate of righteousness. That's power in the helmet of salvation. If you're not thinking you're saved, guess what? You're in that hole. If you're not believing that he saved you, and you're not walking in what he did for you, you're in that hole. You're not believing that he saved you. You ain't got the helmet of salvation on. That way he can bombard your mind with anything he wants. Anything he wants. And we'll believe it. We'll believe it. To stand against the schemes of the devil. Because he's so crafty. He's so crafty. He makes a horrible picture look so beautiful to you if you're not in the word, if you're not aligned with Yehovah. Because we do not, why? Here we go, right here, verse 12. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities. Hasatan has little helpers with him. It's not just him alone. A third fell with him. Remember that. Against authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. Because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim so that you have power to withstand in the wicked day, and having done all to stand. Stand then, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having fitted your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. Above all, having taken up the shield of belief, with which you shall have power to quench all the burning arrows of the wicked one. Take also the helmet of deliverance and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim. Doing what? Praying at all times. Do we get to relax? No, it's not what the word tells us right here. No, we got to pray all the time. You say, well, how can I do that? Yeah, you can meditate. You can pray at all times. It's proven you can do it. We can do it. We can meditate on this Torah day and night, and we can pray at all times. We can. The enemy wants us to think you can't. That's his job. His job to get you further and further and further away from Elohim. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching in all perseverance and supplication for who? For all the set apart ones. You mean to tell me it's not just the pastor's job or the deacons or the ministers, whoever's preparing this word, preparing a word? No. Each and every one of us in this building today need to be praying for all the set apart ones. All of them. Also for me, that a word might be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to be bold in making known the secret of the good news, for which I am an envoy in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I should speak. Put on the armor of Elohim daily. Ephesians 6, 11 through 8 tells us to put on the armor of Elohim so we can stand against the devil's schemes. Each piece is practical. The belt of truth. Be ruthlessly honest with Elohim. And yourself, cling to what Elohim says, not what you feel. Cling to what his word says, not how you feel. Because our feelings is like a roller coaster. It sometimes figure eights. It's just all over the place, so squarely. It's unbelievable. You really think like, you really sit and think like, man, how did I just do that? How did I just act like that? But be honest. Cling to what it says, not how you feel. The breastplate of righteousness. Remember, your righteousness is in Yeshua, not your performance. So accusations don't stick. They can't stick if your righteousness is in Yeshua. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Stay grounded in what Yeshua has done, not in chaos and drama. The shield of faith. When accusing or fearful thoughts come, say, I trust Elohim's character even when I don't see it yet. I trust his character even when I don't see it. The helmet of salvation. Guard your mind with the assurance that you are saved and secure in Yeshua. The sword of the Spirit. Use specific scriptures against specific lies or temptations. Whatever lie or whatever you're being tempted with, I guarantee you there's multiple scriptures, if we just go search for it and look, that we can be overcomers of whatever lie the enemy throws at us, whatever dart, whatever it is, whatever doubt, fear, whatever it might be. Oppression often lifts gradually as you constantly uses this armor. It's more like a war campaign than a single punch. Proverbs 31. How to fight off oppression around you. Proverbs 31. Let me hurry up because I got my 10 call a little while ago. 31 verse 8-9. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. No, open your mouth for the dumb. In the cause of all the sons of the departed. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Again, advocate for someone. Listen, I know when I couldn't advocate for myself, someone was advocating for me. Someone was advocating for me when I couldn't advocate for myself. That's important that we advocate for someone, that we go on behalf of someone who can't go back on their behalf. Because listen, the enemy will take your voice if you allow him to. He will rip it from you. So somebody's got to rise up and say, hey, I'm going to speak up for that brother. I see he's going through it. I'm going to speak up for that sister. I see they going through it. It's important, church. Let me get to a stop, a good, strong. If your oppression, I end with this right here, connects to trauma, abuse, or long-term mental health struggles, whatever your oppression might be, if at any point you feel overwhelmed, reach out. Not just for more information, but for a real-time prayer from believers who will stand with you. Yeah. Don't be prideful. Call a brother or sister and say, hey, this is where I'm falling. This is where I'm suffering at. This is where I'm at today in this very moment. And us as believers, we shouldn't be, well, you got yourself there, figure it out. No, Yeshua didn't tell us that.
True.
Jehovah didn't tell us that.
True.
You got yourself there, figure it out. No, he figured it out for you. He sent his son to die on the cross so we can have it. So we can have that breakthrough in our life. And we can know that we're saved. Don't be the one to say, oh, I mean, that's dumb, man. Come on. You too old for that. Listen, this is part of my story, but it was a wall that I had formed, or that I let the enemy put in between me and my mom. And I didn't realize this till last. I knew the wall was there. I always, because I put it up, really, to tell you the truth. Because you just, at a young age, teenager, young, you see a lot, and you wish you wouldn't have seen it, but you did. But that doesn't matter when it comes to Yehovah. And what made me, what brought it to my face is last Saturday, I didn't even tell my wife this, or Friday. Saturday, or it was after Shabbat, or maybe it was Sunday evening. I was pulling in at the house, and she called. And she started opening up, asking for prayer, asking if God could forgive her. And I realized she was suffering from a lot of the stuff that I was suffering with not too long ago. And I had to repent, because he brought it to my attention instantly. Because when she asked for prayer before I got off the phone, it was a struggle because of that wall that was there. And it's been there for a long time, for years. But as I prayed and I struggled with praying, I'm not even going to lie, because of that wall that was right there. But then after I got off the phone with her, and I'm beginning just to, the Father just begin to, you know, deal with me about all of it. And I told him, yeah, I asked him for forgiveness. And then, you know, just, I started sending her scriptures. And I have never sent my mom scripture in years. But I realized that she needed it, because some of the things she was saying was right in my face. Because I dealt with that. I was dealing with it. I had dealt with it. And I just begin to remember all the love that people and the grace that people bestowed upon me. But yet I haven't forgave her. I hadn't up till last week. I haven't forgiven her. But after that encounter, I knew what I had to do. So I began to send her scriptures. Of, oh, just, yes, you're an overcomer. You can beat this. Yes, yeah, I love you. You just got to teshuva, Ma. I told you just got to return. Just repent. Teshuva and repent. And he's gonna meet you right where you're at. But that wall is there. And, man, I didn't realize it till that day. But as I begin to send her scriptures and we begin to have a little more phone conversations, even this morning she called me. I don't know if Nick knew that was her on the phone when she called, and I said, hey, good morning, Pearl. I call her Pearl. That's her nickname to me. And I don't know all what she was, well, she just said, hey, just remember that. She asked me what I was doing. I said, getting ready for church, you know. Oh, that's good. Okay, don't forget to pray for mom. Yeah, of course. But I'm just so thankful that that wall has been broken down. Because that's a mom. That's my mom. And she didn't put the wall up. I did. The enemy really convinced me. I hate to even say the enemy, because I'm tired of giving him so much credit. You know, I don't want to give him the credit of, you know, it's always him, and this, him, that. And it can be the very truth, but that's not what the word says. The word says different. I either can believe that, him, or believe this. But anyway, what I'm just trying to say, that it's been a burden. Right. lifting. And just to have that communication back with your mom that was lost for so long, and just to have on the other side asking for prayer, asking me for prayer, and asking me for advice. But he just, the father just wanted me to see that your mom was dealing with the same thing you're dealing with. You have no right to put that wall up, because nobody put that wall up in front over you when you dealing with those same thoughts. So again, what I'm saying is, your story matters. You was in that hole. Lo and behold, how did I know that experience is going to help me, help my mom through her circumstances and what she's dealing with? The same, it was crazy when she was saying it, because the same thoughts and stuff that she was having was the same thing I just came from. The same exact stuff. Being not worthy and not forgiven, and there's no way he could forgive me after all what I did. And she really poured out her heart out to me. And I was just thankful that the Father really, really did what he did that day to help me realize that, no, that's got to come down. And all for you to do, listen, if you want to see your whole family saved, son, you can't have walls up. You got to be willing to pour grace upon grace upon grace upon grace until you got to love, love, love. How can I preach that message? And I preached that message about having love, love, love in the dark, and I still had that wall up. Still had it up, but didn't dawn on me until that encounter. And I'm thankful for it. The Father is good to us, amen? I thank y'all for listening this morning. I hope this made a lot of sense to you. I hope this message, we don't have to suffer from that stuff, from oppression and depression, anxiety and fear. No, we can walk in the fullness of Elohim if we want to. We can walk in it. He's good to us, amen? Let's stand.